Hey everyone, coming up, we're about to get fast and furious as we talk about Halloween Horror Nights, all the information with that, houses, scare zones, shows, and so much more. Coming up live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. This is episode 54 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Universal Orlando vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of this show that we do. I am your host, Craig Williams, that's me.
Are you?
And yes, I am. I was quite unsure for a second there, but I pulled it back in and I realized that I am, in fact, Craig Williams. And I am joined today with Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hello. And then on the other side of me, Jenny Lynn.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Back in the controls. He's back after a month-long hiatus. I don't know if his character was getting written off the show or what, but ooh. Whoa.
Zeus does not agree with you.
Zeus did not agree, and that's why we've got thunder in the background.
That's right. Don't you dare disparage me.
What an intro you just got.
Yeah. The really terrible part is if I would have just said your name and then the thunder boom, it would have been pretty epic, but instead cool. I ruined it.
If that even comes across on audio, I'm not sure.
Producer Dustin West is in the back.
Thanks for having me, Craig.
Anytime. You know, I know you don't like to be a part of this show, but we enjoy you being a part of it.
Yeah, I hate it.
Okay, well, you know what? Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, and I'll leave it at that.
All right.
Oh, we've got a huge, massive episode coming up. I don't know how this is going to go, honestly, because I was up until about 5 o'clock in the morning. There was a couple big announcements that were made last night and just this week in general. It's been quite the crazy week for news in terms of Universal Orlando, and it feels like it's been a freaking roller coaster ride because we're just getting off the D23 train, dealing with all that on the Disney side, and now we're bouncing around with all this Universal stuff, and
question.
I am just tired.
Do you think that they did that purposely? Do you think they held off on their big announcements till after D23 so they had something to follow up?
No, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that very shortly. I just wanted to give everyone the heads up at the top of the show. If you also listen to the Disney World Orlando edition of the Diz Unplugged, that you can find at DizUnplugged.com, along with show notes and so much more from all of our other shows. You'll know that I said we were going to do an email episode on this one, and I don't want to disappoint you if you send in emails. We actually got a lot of emails right there in the past couple days just after announcing that. We will get around to reading all of those emails, I promise. Okay, don't be sassy.
I'm trying to interact with people. I can't do it.
Oh, good. Sorry. Fantastic. No, I promise we will get around to actually reading all of that stuff and trying to help answer your questions. It just is not going to happen this one because we have too much, and I feel like I keep saying that. So does anyone else have any other housekeeping before we can jump into this? We have too much stuff going on.
Nope.
Nah, bro.
Nah? Okay. Well, then let's talk about what is buzzing.
I hate myself.
Yeah, you're really only here right now for
the cookies.
To fill the seat.
There's no cookies. I don't know.
Yeah, what the?
I don't know where that came from. Right. I had a lot of cough syrup this morning. I'm sorry.
Fantastic. First up in the buzz, Fast and Furious Supercharged. Yeah, I know I got loud there. Deal with it.
He's just He's so supercharged.
Yeah, Fast and Furious Supercharged. Coming to Universal Orlando, specifically Universal Studios Florida, in 2017. So this news really comes as no surprise after, Fast and Furious Supercharged open up as part of the tram tour in Hollywood earlier this summer. And right now, Universal seems to be stuck in this phase, not all the time, but just kind of with like Transformers and a couple other things here and there where they just want to repeat everything they're doing. And so Fast and Furious Supercharged will be coming to our side of the United States. However, I know I just said that it's kind of thought to be a clone, but at the same time, we don't exactly know what it's going to be.
Well, we don't have a tram tour, for one.
Exactly. That is the good point of it. And two, I don't want to get into logistics and details and talk about what is closing yet to make way for this, because that's going to be the second item in Buzz. But the area that they are taking to build this attraction is completely massive compared to the footprint that the Fast and Furious Supercharged site on the tram tour has. I mean, it's massive in scale, so they've got to be doing something more. But the official Universal Orlando blog wrote this description out for it. They said, "This ride is going to fuse everything you love about the films with an original storyline and incredible ride technology."
What do we love about the films? That's the question I have to ask.
The ride. Right?
Let me keep going here. Let me keep going.
Okay.
I don't like to hear myself speak, but let me go. You'll get to check out some of the high-speed supercharged cars you've seen on the big screen. You'll be immersed in the underground racing world made famous in the films and explore the headquarters of Toretto and his team. Then, you'll board specially designed vehicles for an adrenaline-pumping ride with your favorite stars from the films. Now, talk amongst yourselves about everything we love about the films.
I don't know that anybody cares about the films.
I have never personally seen any of the Fast and Furious films.
You've not seen any of them?
I haven't
no,
either.
So I know that I was pretty judgy just a minute ago, but I have to scream apathy here. I don't care. I've never seen them, and I don't know. Ignorance as well. So
I've seen the first, second, and...
Sixth,
yeah, yeah. But I can't remember the first one at all. I owned the second one. I know that. So I've
what
seen
about
that one repeatedly.
Number three, Tokyo Drift.
No, my stepdad has that one. I know that. But he builds cars and races and stuff like that. So his speed, which is fine. And I saw the sixth one because the fifth one was like the surprise hit of the series that basically like brought
that,
the life
brought
back
it back.
Into it.
Was that Fast and Furious?
No, that was
Fast Five.
Yeah.
And then it went into Fast and Furious. And then... Now it is
Furious 7.
No, it went into Furious 6. Or it was Fast and Furious 6, but they were marketing it as Furious 6. Fast and Furious
was
4.
Okay,
because that was when they brought Michelle Rodriguez's character back in, but then she like was dead, but then she came back again. I don't.
So explain this to me. Is this some kind of pop culture phenomenon that has just totally escaped me?
Well,
I don't care anything about this.
Pleasures,
I never hear anything about it from anyone I know.
I think it's a very key demographic that is flocking to Hollywood to actually experience its attraction. And I think that same key demographic will eventually come here to see it as well. And let's talk about numbers. We've talked about Fast and Furious a lot on this show in past months leading up to this official announcement. And we kind of followed Fast and Furious 7 along that way. The final box office numbers, because it's about to hit Blu-ray here real soon, it made over $351 million at the domestic box office. And overall, worldwide, it grossed $1.5 billion,
yeah,
making it the fifth highest grossing movie.
The new one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so it is something that is just escaping me personally. Everyone else loves it.
Sorry, Dustin? China.
There was also buzz around this particular film because it was
Paul Walker's
final appearance in this.
Okay.
In the same way The Dark Knight
was Heath Ledger's
final, you know, a big movie like that, I think it had some significance to the fans and to other people who were fans of Paul Walker that came out to the theaters. It had some buzz around it because of that.
Okay,
I think that explains the domestic boom. 351 seems really high for domestic. I think maybe 200 million for this domestic would have been more in line, but I think with Paul Walker's demise, that's a really dark way of putting it.
Jesus.
With Paul Walker's unexpected death, I think that helped boost it up and get that extra number. But it's still the worldwide, as Rhino said, China. It was like the biggest movie they've ever had.
And it's still, I think it's still going pretty strong over there right now. But also the fifth and sixth one did really well here too. Like the fifth one was the surprise hit that, like, they just were like, let's just go all the way out. And that was the one that turned it into, like, a bank heist movie. And then the other ones kind of have followed suit. And that's also where they added The Rock. So they always say, like, that's where The Rock was starting to get his reputation of like a franchise reinvigorator, because then he did Journey 2 and that was a big deal, and then he did
I don't know if you can call that a big deal.
Well,
Journey 2,
I think it made a lot of money. I think it did. As far as I know, they're going to do a third one, so I don't
like that was all about the Hutch.
I like The Rock, so that has it going for it, but
okay, well, let's wrap this back in. And so Fast and Furious Supercharged, it's now officially coming. We'll wait to see what it's going to be like. I don't even want to speculate on it. Oh, come on, Rhino. Even whenever you're not at the Switcher, you're still screwing up.
In the chat room.
Good God. I don't want to speculate on anything because we really don't know anything about it. I don't want to sound like an idiot later on down the road because of it, but look for it in 2017. What does that mean is going because of that? Well, next thing that's buzzing, disaster.
And then you should switch to disaster.
Disaster, it's a major motion picture starring you. We'll be closing on September 8th.
But you know what?
In a week?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I got to get my kids on that fast then, huh?
They got to go see The Rock on there, and then they got to come back and see The Rock in Fast and the Furious. Universal was like, don't worry, everybody. We still got
him. Guess what? He might even be in The Mummy. You never know.
Right? They're going to go do a refurbishment for a Scorpion King overlay into The Mummy franchise.
That's just what everyone wants.
That's when you know that the Universal creative, somebody's got a brain aneurysm that's about to it's about to go.
Okay, well, still, I knew you were going to bring up the whole Rock thing, moving from one attraction to the next. Mm-hmm. Now that you got it out of your system,
I like The Rock.
Never bring it back up again, please. It's done.
Okay.
It's time. Disaster will be closing, and that leaves, like I've already mentioned, a lot of space. It's really sad to see Disaster go. I know people who love this ride absolutely love it. Sorry, not ride, attraction, because if you don't know about Disaster, it's really an experience. It ends with the big earthquake section that they kind of developed from the Studio Tram Tour in Hollywood that everyone knows and loves. But leading up to it, it's this goofy, bizarre journey into Disaster Studios with the one and only Frank Kincaid, played by Dustin's favorite actor.
You gotta know that Disaster, it was refurbed about 8 years ago, and it included Christopher Walken in that role of Frank Kincaid, you know.
You just stopped right in the middle. But it's really a shame that it is one of the biggest examples of how movies are made. Even though, you know, it's a whole rushed attraction with some green screen and pulling the actors up and putting them through that. It's a big loss in terms of Universal Studios being that look into the backstage. We've talked about it enough with Hollywood Studios as well, too. These parks are just going into immersive parks now and putting you in the movies, which was always their kind of slogan/tagline. But at the same time, they also like to put in that little backstage twist, and that's just going now. Rhino,
somebody just made a comment about your impersonation, and they were like,
"It's not great."
No, but they were. Well, somebody said it was great, and then the next person went, "Was that Travolta?" And then somebody said it was a Cosby Travolta mix, and
you gotta know with the Cosby and the Travolta, you. Okay. I can't go any further with Cosby anymore. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm not editing that out, but or just
whoa.
If you're listening, no stance on Bill Cosby on this show.
Okay,
we're not going there. Disaster going away along with it. Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review, which was also dubbed in this one Beetlejuice's Graveyard Mashup, because they changed it from hit popular songs to now hit popular mashups, in no way inspired by shows like Glee that made mashups obnoxious to the entire world.
Is a mashup the same thing as a medley?
No. A mashup is whenever an
two songs together.
Yes, two songs together, made famous by Glee and Pitch Perfect.
So kind of like the Grey album kind of deal. The Jay-Z and Beatles Black album and White album combined into... Nope.
That would be heresy.
Well, it's like 10 years old at this point.
No. It's, rappers have always mashed stuff up, but it's been ignored because rap is just a silly genre of gibberish. Jibber jabber, as Bill Cosby would say. Disney
or WDWinfo.com.
Oh, I will talk down on rap music for as long as we want.
Talk down on it?
I will talk down on it.
Can you do it in a rap? can you rap down?
All right.
Can I rap down on it? No, but rap, it's a silly, it's not music. So,
oh my God.
It's not even music.
I'll just go to...
And Pitbull is the worst offender of that.
Okay,
and
we can all get behind that.
You gotta wrap it up with Pitbull. Beetlejuice going away. No date set on that yet. But yeah, we've got to get over and start doing these attractions.
We've been talking about this since the first episode that we've all been on together.
So you said Disaster's closing really soon. Is Beetlejuice going at the exact same time, or was that one not announced? They were both together? What? I only heard Disaster.
I wasn't listening to you, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
He wants to know when Beetlejuice is going. Is
they
there
haven't
a date?
Announced the date.
Okay, I didn't think they'd announce Beetlejuice.
It'll be sometime after Halloween Horror Nights.
Okay, so we
have a little bit of time.
That's our next thing, then. That's what we got to do, for sure.
Yeah. No, well, Disaster first, and then sometime throw Twister in there. I know we need to go and document it better than we have at this point.
Yeah,
and
for the archives.
Beetlejuice, and yes, the archives, because people are going to want to know what this crap was.
No, I wish this existed from when I was a kid. I wish there was the Ghostbuster show somewhere.
It is. It's just in really awful quality on YouTube somewhere because, well, people back then were using the camcorders on their shoulder.
Just pop in a new VHS over here.
Fantastic. So, goodbye to those attractions. We'll miss you. Fast and Furious Supercharged. I'm sure you will not be a letdown, and you will do right by leaving these attractions. That leads us into the big news of last night. The reason why I'm so tired, and that is we got all of the Halloween Horror Nights juicy details that we finally wanted.
Everything's unveiled.
Yay.
You sound like Kermit the Frog.
I thought that was Clara for a second.
I do. Clara, Kermit. So, yeah, after a fun social media campaign leading up to last night at midnight, we finally got all of the juicy details that we wanted. As we talked about on the show before, we knew four houses going into last night. That would be most of the intellectual properties, including Insidious, The Walking Dead,
Freddy versus Jason,
which Rhino said he was very excited about today. And I don't, after the announcement, sorry, I should preface that because I know I said I was actually excited to see it too. But after the announcement last night, Freddy versus Jason went way down on my list, whereas on Rhino's list, apparently it rose to the top as the cream of the crop.
Well, and I'm excited for the werewolf in London.
Spoilers.
I thought that was already announced.
No.
Oh.
Do you not listen?
Well, when I was reading the article, it was the first thing I read, so that's why I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
We'll get there.
Sorry, Kay.
We haven't even announced the last house yet.
Stealing his thunder.
What was the last house?
We said Freddy versus Jason.
We said The Walking Dead.
The
Purge.
The Purge.
We talked about that last week.
We talked about that last week.
We did.
I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, you weren't here last week to talk about it. Well, no. Technically, you showed up about halfway through the show.
I showed up 15 minutes into the show. I was looking at the clock.
It was
I showed
a little
up
more
at
like 20, but
okay.
Yeah. So those were the four houses we knew before going into it last night, and then we got all the massive announcements coming in, and they went as followed, and we are going to go into it in more detail, so I'm just going to list off right now what was announced. First off, the final IP, An American Werewolf in London, followed by the four original concept houses, which were Jack presents 25 Years of Monsters and Mayhem, followed by Run, Blood, Sweat, and Fears. It's a nice play on Blood, Sweat, and Tears, of course. I thought you would appreciate that. And, you know, shut up. You're an idiot. Asylum in Wonderland 3D.
Dale's favorite.
And Body Collectors, Recollections. And then also, leading into that are the five scare zones, which are Psycho, Scarapy, Unleashed, Icons, Halloween Horror Nights, Scary Tales, Scream Punk, Evil's Root, and All Night Die-In Double Feature. Then in terms of the shows, of course, Bill and Ted coming back.
Woohoo!
Classic, always. Got to. And then the Carnage returns. So no Rocky Horror Picture Show this year. The Carnage returns.
That's going to be big for those Rocky Horror fans. That's,
but
they still play. Well,
I was going to say they can still see it at the AMC theater.
Yeah, but it's two different things.
Yeah, well, I never got to see the Halloween Horror Nights one. That was just like
it was a very songs, right? Yeah, it was just the songs.
Yeah,
okay. And not even all the songs. It was a 20-minute condensed,
very condensed.
But not even some of the highlights because it skips some good ones in there. But
I was
not
in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, I know. Okay. We know.
Some terrible pictures on the internet somewhere. Someone digs deep enough.
We know. They're out there. People can find them. Google. That's what it's for. So, yeah, that was the big buzz from last night. So instead of keeping that lower third on the bottom of the screen for those of you watching the show, that's going to bother you if that stays up for the next 35 minutes. So we're going to get rid of that, and we're going to jump into the meat and potatoes. No, none of that. That bull cocky with the mid-show shuffle, and we're not doing any of that. We're talking Halloween Horror Nights for the rest of the show. For everyone out there who hates Halloween Horror Nights, I deeply, deeply apologize, but we love it.
Yeah,
we love it, and it's big news.
I am so excited. I was in the park last week, and they are already starting to set up. They've got jack-o'-lanterns up in the trees. Ooh. In one of the scare zones, and they've got big banners for those the classic characters that they're bringing. I guess they're Jack's people or whatever, like the Rat Lady. The Rat Lady
Jack's
has a banner, and I forget what the other ones are. But
they have, like, the Caretaker, the Usher.
Yeah, they all have banners up on one of the streets.
On Hollywood.
In Hollywood. Where the scare zone is. It's exciting. Like, you're just starting to get a little bit of a, you know, it's coming.
Yeah. Well, it's also the hope for colder weather here, too. So that's why I get excited. Yeah.
That's the best part about Halloween Horror Nights. It's 90 degrees throughout the entire event until the last night. Usually on like November 1st, and then all of a sudden it drops into the 30s at night, and it's like, what happened?
Why am I shaking so much?
I remember last year we went on November 1st. Pete, Dustin, some of Pete's family, and myself and Kylie. And Kylie showed up in like shorts and a t-shirt, and it did get down into like the mid-30s. And she had to leave after like 3 or 4 houses just because she was freezing cold. I think Dustin was looking for a SpongeBob hoodie. He didn't find
I didn't find the SpongeBob hoodie, but I did get a Captain America hoodie.
That's right. That's wonderful. That was a good night.
Yes.
That was fun. So let's actually, instead of talking about memories past, let's talk about what's coming. So I already said it. The first one, An American Werewolf in London.
Well, really?
Yeah.
So this house, of course, made its debut in Halloween Horror Nights 2 years ago during HHN 23, and it was the number one maze voted, attended, all of that. It was a amazing, amazing house, huge hit. Did a run in Hollywood last year, a little bit different. It's coming back to Orlando this year, and last night on Twitter, Michael Aiello, the main man of Halloween Horror Nights, in charge of everything, he admitted that this one is a scene-for-scene remake of everything from the house, the previous house 2 years ago, but with a couple new surprises in. Cool. So that's the first time they've ever done this.
A straight up revisit like that?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to be more of the puppets in it? Because that was truly the most terrifying part of those houses.
Do they need more of the puppets?
Well, I remember 2 or 3. I don't remember there being an excessive amount of puppetry. I remember loving it, but I only remember, well, maybe it's because I had my eyes closed.
That might be. No, there was a good amount of puppets. I thought the scares were absolutely phenomenal in this house.
They were. I was terrified in that house.
It's either my first or second favorite house. Probably I would say my first favorite house of all time. Granted, I haven't been going for that long, so I can't really.
Well, that's why I'm excited for it, because you just speak so highly of it. And I
it's good.
Experience this one.
It was incredible. It did just such a great job of showing off the entire movie, which is a fantastic movie. If you've never watched An American Werewolf in London, do yourself a favor. Go and buy it on Amazon or rent it on iTunes, whatever. It doesn't cost that much.
I think I got it for $5. Two-pack with the sequel there, too.
Because everyone wants An American Werewolf in Paris.
It had that guy that was popular for a hot second.
Gene Kelly,
that's it. Gene Kelly was an American Werewolf.
That dancing around as a werewolf. It was a great one. If you haven't seen it, then... You're in for a treat. But yeah, a big shock that they're completely doing it as a exact replica with new surprises.
Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
I agree. And I mean, in other years where you see like a disappointing house, which you're kind of like, eh... It would be better if they would have done something a little more unique, a little more original. In this case, yeah, they're bringing back an intellectual property. But at least now, for anyone who didn't get to visit it, they finally get that chance, like Rhino. Or for people like me who are obsessed with it, I get that one extra shot. Well, probably like 30 extra shots, because I want to go every single night if it's possible. It's not possible.
It gets that word of mouth going real well for that, like being like, you know, oh, remember that awesome house? Like, so it kind of brings people in on that. I don't know.
Yeah, that word of mouth.
Yeah. I don't know. Why is it getting weird?
Well, it wasn't getting weird. You just made it weird.
Got a little banjo play for a second. I didn't like it. I don't like it.
You just made it weird. Trust me.
Yeah.
So Halloween, An American Werewolf in London coming back. Hope everyone is super pumped for it.
This is the one I look forward to the most.
Good.
This is where the pumping begins and ends for me. No, it just begins. There's another one I'm excited for.
I know. Freddy versus Jason. I know. You freak.
So stupid. But it's so stupid. It's such a terrible movie. But I do like the idea of the haunted house, like the epitome of these two horror movie icons going at each other in this house. Like it, and it unfortunately it's going to have to force me to watch that movie again.
As we said,
that I do own.
If it's done well, if they're actually fighting each other while putting people in the middle of it, it'll be great. But if you just have a random Freddy and a random Jason pop out, then it's.
There has to be that epic fight scene that you walk across. Like, and I know that this wasn't a fight scene, but it reminds me of the Resident Evil house that they had. The ending scene with what's his name with the crazy blonde hair and the giant gun just standing there looking really epic. So it's like it wasn't a scary portion, but if you were able to walk past like this big epic scene that was completely visual and just amazing, that would be really cool. It wouldn't be scary because it would be right in your face, but it would be epic.
Well,
and
my head on that, the note is like I'm the one scene I'm imagining is the scene on the beach at Camp Crystal Lake where the fire everywhere, and you know that scene where they're like fighting on the water there, and I'm kind of like, will they do that? If this is right out of the movie, they've got to have the camp. I mean, most of that movie takes place at the camp, like very little. I'm assuming it starts in Elm Street, moves on, and then it ends in the camp. So I'm looking forward to like maybe some sort of cool indoor outdoor.
But we don't know necessarily that it's following the movie plot line. It's just taking I don't think they ever said that it was going to follow the exact movie plot line. I think they just said that it was a battle between Freddy versus Jason.
Yep.
Oh.
So, but moving on to the original houses, where I think JL and I are at least excited about, since Rhino can't be.
Well, there's some things.
Being a grumpy Gus.
No.
So the first one, as I've said, Jack presents 25 years of Monsters and Mayhem, truly a house that could only be created after 25 massive, massive years of Halloween Horror Nights. And what's it going to do? Well, it's described as Jack is back. Jack the Clown, and he invites you to join him for the ultimate reunion in horror. Universal classic monsters will attack from the shadows, meat-grinding maniacs will rip every scream from your throat, and ghosts of Horror Nights past will stalk you around every corner. You'll find yourself dying to get in and relive your most haunting memories of the past 25 years of Halloween Horror Nights.
I am really looking forward to this one because I missed out on Halloween Horror Nights for the grand majority of its existence. I only started going 3 years ago. And so I am looking forward to the opportunity to be able to see at least a little bit of a glimpse of what I missed, if I can keep my eyes open in the house.
Absolutely. And Mr. Aiello shed a little bit more light on this one. He said that this is going to be the size of The Walking Dead house last year.
Oh, wow.
Which, that gets me excited right there. That house was so long. I didn't always agree with it. It got better as the event went on. But the size of the house alone, that's something to get excited about. Some of the things that he did mention that would be seen in the house, some of the scenes I've actually seen, like Forsaken, Nightingales, and then the thing that gets me most excited is someone asked if HR Blood and Guts would be a part of this one, and he confirmed that HR Blood and Guts will be back with it. And I think I've talked about it before, I'm sure I have, but the first year I got to go to Halloween Horror Nights, I want to say it was 21, this was the fun house that they did. You know, they either tried to do like a 3D house or a fun house, something along that lines. And HR Blood and Guts, it was a look through every single holiday, but it was just, it was so ridiculously stupid. It, like, you get to the Christmas theme and, you know, you have the crazy Santa,
yeah,
but they had Arbor Day and it was just a bunch of trees that ran out at you. The Easter Bunny was like a psychopath. There was a pilgrim walking around.
I remember
with his,
that sounds like so much fun.
That's where, whenever I said that American Werewolf was my number one, this is the only house that might rival it. And, you know, because never going to Halloween Horror Nights before, and then this was one of the first houses I ever went through. it left that lasting impression on me. It was so stupid.
But in a good way, it sounds like. I would have a good time in that house.
And I just, the fact that that's going to make an appearance, and as you said, we're going to get to learn a little bit more about the ones that we've missed out on because we haven't attended this event, because we weren't around here, mm-hmm. then that makes me very excited for this. And I think Rhino might even be okay with it too.
Yeah.
No?
No, I'm okay with this one. I'm going to say the word here that was used in the description is the word that I feel like I kept thinking of was the like bone crunching or something like that. How did you describe it? You just changed the page now.
It was meat grinding
is the word. I feel like they use that word in several descriptions of the houses, and I was like, it's going to be a meaty year this year.
I mean, I think there are several ways to get scares at Halloween Horror Nights sometimes with practical effects, and you often see where they have someone on a table cutting them apart or grinding them up. I mean, it's just, it's these effects that are always disgusting and brutal that they can reuse every year, and it works all the time. So don't...
let me ask this. Okay, so in this house, you know, Jack's Maniacs or whatever they are, the things that will be in this house won't be the IPs, right? It will be Universal Creative's original concepts for houses, because they always have their original stuff as well. And often some of those are like my favorite. Like, I think it was last year was, there was one I really loved. I can't think of what it was called. I want to say My Sharona. La Llorona. Yeah.
Oh, the Lady in White. Yeah.
I really liked that one. sorry.
No, but it's funny because it sounds like it.
It does. Like, it was the only thing coming to me at the moment. Okay, but I really liked that
haunting
one.
Haunting cover of that song that played when she went through the house.
My Sharona.
Anyway, I like the idea of there being a house with their original concepts and not just a collection of IPs.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've said it. I love their original concepts, from stuff like H&R Blood and Guts to La Llorona to a couple years back they did Evermore, with the Edgar Allan Poe house, or Nevermore. Why did I say Evermore?
Is that with Haley Williams? Or?
there was one. There was a Gothic house 2 years ago that I thought was beautiful. Beautiful.
No, they do such a great job at their original houses. Maybe we'll get Rhino to turn his frown upside down and be a little more excited.
In a haunted house?
Yeah.
Turn my frown into an open mouth scream.
Well, I think you're definitely going to be a fan of the next one. Run.
Yes.
Blood, Sweat, and Fears. Congratulations. You've been selected to be one of the lucky contestants on Run, the most popular and brutal television show in the world.
I'm sorry, Craig. I just have to interrupt you because it's funny that you say that description. This looks like the American Gladiators logo.
That's a good point. In this house, you'll have to try and avoid the most skilled assassins known as the Reapers as you walk through death obstacles designed to mangle and shred, all for the amusement of the audience watching from home.
Death obstacles.
And good news, the now rundown Hellgate prison has been selected as the battleground. Good luck.
This one sounds like it's going to terrify the crap out of me.
Well, this is the Running Man version of a Halloween house.
So, Run has been a house in the past, as we talked about on the Rumors, HHN Rumors episode a long time ago. Reapers and Hellgate Prison are both being brought back from other Halloween Horror Nights ones. But in general, Rhino just said it, Running Man.
Yeah.
He looks so bored, too.
Mr. Aiello said it on Twitter.
No, it's a good movie. Sorry, I'm trying not to cough. It's hurting me.
The theme's going back to its roots as an 80s-inspired game show. I mean, if you've never seen Running Man first, do yourself a favor and go out and watch that Arnold Schwarzenegger classic.
It's a great... I think I own that on Blu-ray. DVD.
I own it on DVD.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but I think there is something to be said that... There must be some sort of inspiration both in this house and in that film to American Gladiators. There has to be, because this looks exactly like it.
Well, the outfits they wear in the movie are those, like, one-piece, zip-up, unitard kind of, like... It definitely has that kind of vibe a little bit, I guess, yeah.
I love Running Man, and I wish I knew more about Run and its history in terms of Halloween Horror Nights, but... My God, if they even put, like, one Arnold Schwarzenegger lookalike jumpsuit, please. I would just lose my crap. You hate the feces smell in the houses, Rhino. It would just smell like feces. I'm throwing that out there.
Thank you for that, Craig Williams.
I went there. It's disgusting.
Diarrhea.
Because you poop your pants.
Because of pooping pants. Consider me Miles Davis. That's peeing pants, so sorry. Okay, the next house. Asylum in Wonderland 3D. JL's house.
Yes.
A new volume of scary tales has been released by Ultraviolent Comics. Asylum in Wonderland. This time around, you'll follow the White Rabbit through the looking glass and into a murderous 3D Wonderland. All of the beloved characters will come to life in this chaotic world with an insane nightmarish twist. You'll be left asking one question. Is it all really in Alice's mind? Or are the images you see real enough to kill you?
I was hoping you were going to go, is it all really in Alice's mind? Like, you got to get scared.
In a world.
So, I am very excited about this, obviously, because of the theme. And I don't know if it's coming back from the year that they did all of the fairy tales as their theme for Halloween Horror Nights, but I always regret having missed the year that they did that. I'm not crazy about it being the 3D house.
Yeah, that's where the big disappointment comes into this, is that they're making it the 3D house, which...
Which just means you put on wacky goggles and there's, like, shiny, bright lights.
And it's always a little bit... Well, it's disorienting. It's supposed to be disorienting, but you don't enjoy the house as much because you can't really see what's going on.
It gives them a guaranteed way to cut some corners because... The glasses you put on, they look like the cheap 3D glasses that they hand out. Not even like the ones you'll get at a 3D movie.
No, like the paper ones from back in the 50s.
Exactly.
Or whatever it was.
And if you've never seen them in the past, they're not 3D. They just disorient the light and kind of break it up. So
I got those at like the science museum when I was 5 years old on a field trip.
The fireworks when you were a kid in your town would give them to you sometimes.
What's more special about these particular houses is they really focus on the black light elements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes these really cool. And I've run through these houses with both the glasses on and the glasses off. And even with the glasses off, just the way that they illuminate these with the black light, and you can even see it in this logo if you're watching, that's definitely like a black light poster. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
That's it, the really, color scheme.
It gives you the idea that that is what it's going to focus on. And they look amazing. I say, if you're willing, go through it without the glasses, because I think it's just a distraction.
Then I might try that, because I am so excited about this theme. But the 3D houses, I mean, I enjoy the 3D houses, but they're always lowest on the on my scale of enjoyment.
I think that's true for a lot of people. But yeah, Dustin kind of said it right. Do it once with 3D, do it without 3D, figure out what you like more. And if you don't like either way, then just don't do it again.
Do it a third time, just to make sure.
Do it a third time, and then after that, then realize it's the end of the night, and you just wasted your one night at Horror Nights going through Asylum in Wonderland way too many times. The final original house, Body Collectors, Recollections. They have returned. The Body Collectors are on the hunt for the human parts they so desperately need. Emerging from the darkness on a cold winter night, they descended upon the unknowing inhabitants of Shady Brook Asylum. Get ready to face their sharpened blades as the screams of their recent victims echo through the halls.
Where did they get the blade sharpeners?
You know what? That's a good question.
They don't call it Shady Brook for no reason.
They probably got it at the Home Depot. But at the same time, this is actually going to take place in the late 1800s at the Shady Brook Asylum. So I don't believe that the Home Depot was open at that point yet.
It looks like Shutter Island. It looks like it has that kind of
great
vibe.
Movie. Yeah.
I imagine there's going to be a lot of people wearing white, those white nighties. You know, the 18th century, like, I don't know
the
what they
gowns?
Are. They look like pillowcases that you wear. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That with blood.
With the little caps.
Effects underneath. And, yeah. Little candlesticks.
Like Scrooge.
Yeah, a lot of Scroogies.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with Shady Brook Asylum and the Body Collectors. Again, stuff I've missed out on. However, I'm excited about the one detail that was given, that it's going to take place all during a massive snowstorm.
Oh, that's and, cool. I think I glossed over that.
It's a bit unique, right?
Yeah, I can't... Oh my god, what was the name of the house a couple of years ago?
Did they have a snow one?
It wasn't a snow one. It was a walk. It was kind of in like a cemetery, and it was all outdoors in the snow, and like they had weeping angels there. Yeah,
that
too.
Was the Gothic house.
It was. I thought that was part of the Dracula Untold or whatever.
They did have a little part of the scene of Dracula last year. That I about? Now that you're saying that, I remember there was a little bit of snow, I think, or something like that.
So it's not the house where you were out on a rooftop and
No, that was a different one. This was from 11. It was Winter's Night, The Haunting of Hawthorne Cemetery. That's the one that I was thinking about. This was, I mean, you step into these houses that are simulating the cold, and it's such a relief going from the hot Florida weather, and then you instantly, you're frozen as soon as you get in these
Unless
houses.
Unless you're Kylie wearing shorts.
Yeah, and then you're just not really smart all the time, but God, I love her. So
it's like, you better end that sentence real well.
Throw that one in there.
I'm excited about the massive snowstorm that's taking place. If they can just blow snow on you during the entire maze, that
would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, is someone like you who's looking down on it might even
I'm not looking down on it.
That was a lot of facial movements.
That's a mini stroke right there. I'm excited. I'm excited for anything that's going to use cool effects. I love the production of it, so I'm just looking for more of that. I want people to be creative and not just be popping out around corners at me and I just, he was my intestines.
Wait.
Whoa.
So let me ask you this question. You just said you want it to be creative.
Yeah.
So you would prefer intellectual properties that are arguably not as creative,
you know,
as
how
coming
I
up
feel
with
about,
original houses?
No, but my favorite thing about Universal is how you step into movies. So Halloween Horror Nights, I feel like, is one of the best examples of how they allow you to become a character in a movie. As in the Halloween house last year, you were in the movie watching all those scenes from the movie. Like, it was, I loved that. Like, being able to go into a thing, like a pre-existing story.
But
it's that Last Action Hero complex where you're the kid that gets to be in the Arnold Schwarzenegger
movie. That's not how they're all alike, though.
What? No, I know they're not all like that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with the middle, the midpoint, the half and half. Like, I don't think it should always only be those houses.
You just look for a very specific type of house that you want.
Yes, yeah. Okay. And I'm going to get that this year in the American Werewolf house, the way I got it in the Halloween house last year. So, like, there is a house that will provide that for me, at least one of them.
I agree with you to a sense. There's a certain type of house that I like, and those are the ones that are really intense, really get you in the middle of the action. Mm-hmm. What was the one 2 or 3 years ago where you were on, like, a runaway prison train? I can't think of what it was called, but it was really...
Havoc Derailed.
Yeah, Havoc Derailed. It was really, really action-packed, and it was not an intellectual property that I'm aware of. It was just something that they created, and it really put you in the middle. And I loved it.
I haven't, and my experience is probably the least amount here with the Halloween Horror Nights, but I just haven't had an experience with an intellectual, not an intellectual property, with an original property that I've been blown away with yet. So hopefully this year will prove me wrong. Like, we'll
this year you're going to love their My Sharona house.
Yeah.
The what?
My Sharona.
I heard a different word. Okay.
Yeah. La Llorona, that was a great house. That was really good.
See.
Scare Zones. Psycho Scarapy Unleashed. The criminally insane inmates of Shady Brook Asylum, back to Shady Brook, have escaped and unleashed their horror on a Halloween block party in the streets of New York. Come join the partygoers as the inmates kill for the best Halloween costumes for their very own special costume contest, where you will be the judge. Oh, and this will be the bloodiest scare zone ever.
This is kind of cool. Like, it's as if you have the scare zone that is the asylum, and then, I mean, the house that's the asylum, and then the scare zone is like the escaped people. It's like they've gotten out. Synergy.
And of course, if you couldn't put that together, it's going to be in the New York section, a wide, massive area.
Another link to Shutter Island.
It's the one where they grab you the most. They don't grab you, but you know what I mean? You can be isolated easily, so be careful.
We'll see how this one goes. I think it has promise, but at the same time, I don't know. I just don't know. Next one, as JL already started to kind of reference, Icons. HHN. And now for the scare zone they're looking forward to the most. It's time to take a look back into history and come face to face with icons from our past. Iconic characters from the event's 25-year history, such as the caretaker, storyteller, director, and more, will be found roaming the streets of Hollywood. I even heard that the Rat Lady will be making her grand return. This will be in Hollywood.
All right. So what I'm wondering is if this scare zone is not going to be like most scare zones where the people come after you, but if it's going to be more like they did last year with the face off section where the characters are up on platforms and you can actually get pictures with them in the background. Because they had the way that they had in the streets when I saw it the other day, those banners set up at very specific points, I could see how very easily they would just place a platform in front of the huge banner, and that would be what that is.
I believe that is the end goal, that the characters, although they might not be up on platforms, they might be in the streets, but they will actually come with side characters that fit into their theme that will actually be the ones doing the scaring, just like Face Off did, where you had their characters up there moving around on the stage and then their minions were down around doing everything.
I really enjoyed that way of doing a scare zone. Okay, scare zones for me are at least half of the terrifying nature of Halloween Horror Nights, because in the scare zones, these people always come after me. Somehow I'm a magnet for them. They always just come right to me, ignore everyone else. And so it can be a little bit unnerving and terrifying. In this scare zone, I felt like I had a little bit more space to breathe because they kind of stayed in their, you know, places, and I could get my picture with them in the background. But I still felt relatively like, you know, I didn't feel like I was going to pee in my pants all the time. Whereas walking in the other scare zones, it's always a risk. Sorry, that might be TMI.
No, it's... That was a lovely little story.
So just an insight into your psyche going into Halloween Horror Nights. All right.
The more you know.
I'm happy that people always go after you. It makes me excited to go with you so they leave me alone.
They probably will. They come. It's like this neon sign, scare JL, scare JL. So
for me, I walk around the scare zones and they walk up to me. It's not like intentional, and it's not like I'm trying to like brush them off, but I just keep walking, and it's like, they're like, this guy's not even worth it. He's not flinching or nothing.
Casual.
Yeah.
I think that maybe that's why they attack me, because they can tell that I scare so easily. There was one year I physically just fell down on the ground in the fetal position like this until the one character went away, because it was I was terrified.
When you get to that point, you need to, like, you need to either change your approach or you need to just not go to this anymore. If you're at the point where you're in the fetal position, something's up, man.
I was somewhere with you and you screamed out recently. Maybe it was when we were at Disneyland the last time and we were in the castle. Like, the castle. And we were looking at the thing. And
we did the walkthrough of the castle.
And there was, like, the little, like, goblin appearing. She scared the crap out of me. So we both screamed in the castle.
We just did.
Like, that's not a good sign for what's going to be like when exciting. We go.
Sorry.
Brace yourself.
Back on track. Sorry. Here we go.
Evil's ruse. It's time to be immersed in Halloween's most evil traditions in the scare zone located in Central Park. Here you'll find the event's traditional jack-o'-lanterns in the air as you encounter evil fairies, humanoid bats, scarecrows, and more. Think Grown Evil from 2011, but on a whole nother level.
Ooh.
I love traditional Halloween ones. Whenever they did the Grown Evil one, I believe that, from my memory, that's where they actually had, like, the shorter people, probably shorter ladies, dressed up as, like, little kids trick-or-treating and popping out, and just, I like traditional Halloween. Mm-hmm. Those old values. I'm trying to walk that politically correct line.
You can just say little people.
I don't think it was little people. I think it was
shorter women.
Like little JLs running around in Halloween costumes.
No,
with
shorter.
Trigger.
You're being generous.
Okay, they were little people then. You again can't really get legally shorter than JL and not be a little person.
Well, you can. Like, Kristen Chenoweth is like 4'10". I only know because she was on Conan two nights ago, and whenever she stood next to him,
you know what I'm going to call you out on.
That, no. Oh, Conan O'Brien's a gay trap?
No, Kristen Chenoweth is.
But I was watching Conan O'Brien.
Okay, all right.
Because
he digs himself back out every time.
Because she literally goes and gives him a hug and was crotch level.
Well, Conan
with
is
him
a giant
because he's 6'5".
He's a 7-foot redhead, and Craig has a lot of empathy for that. You know,
I do.
Ginger giants.
I do.
Going to start a fan club.
And they even talked about her height and then molestation on airplanes. It was a good episode. Go back and watch it. TBS.com/Conan. TeamCoco.com.
Team Coco.
Not, in no way here sponsors this show at all, but...
I have a question about Evil Takes Root.
Oh, yeah, that.
We're talking the show. Okay.
Evil's Roots, yes.
So is this going to be a section like last year's? They had the Bayou stuff with the voodoo.
Yeah,
and...
this is in Central Park.
Okay. So, all right.
Yeah.
I was just...
That's the question.
That's it.
That's the question. So if you're into classic Halloween, if you've ever watched the movie Trick or Treat and you said, oh, that's what Halloween's supposed to be like, I'd like to see a scare zone similar to that.
To Trick or Treat?
Yeah.
With the little guy with the head. The guy with the big head.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. No, that movie's weird.
That movie's, I like that movie.
Disturbing.
I like it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, we skipped over.
One, right?
What's that?
Isn't there another one?
Or? There's two more. We skipped over Scary Tales, Scream Punk, bringing to life the most horrifying Scary Tales characters with a new twist. The steampunk-inspired version of Scary Tales is sure to leave you screaming. So, Fairy Tales in their Scary Tales format, but in a steampunk-inspired design.
Does that sound weird?
A little bit. I don't like steampunk.
No, me neither.
It's just a weird combination because you can go the Scary Tales route in terms of, you know, you've always had the Brothers Grimm, they were slightly darker, and then if you go that extra step, you can make it like a murderous Scary Tale. But then to add steampunk into it is, I feel like, is crossing over two different genres.
That's how I feel. I mean, I actually genuinely like steampunk. But
not murderous.
To combine it this way just seems weird.
Yeah, everything's brass in steampunk. It's all like brass.
Universal
copper.
Has
brass. It's gold.
They have an obsession with steampunk.
That's the word.
They really do, because like in the Mardi Gras parade, they have the steampunk inspired floats. They've done steampunk inspired houses in the past before.
Steampunk is cool, but it's just that's your opinion.
I was just gonna say.
No, I mean, like, I do. I do. All right, sorry. Don't. We're not speaking for everybody. Excuse me, but But I just feel like this is a weird combination.
I agree with you, JL.
I do think it throws off the... It what could have been scary, it now throws it off into a weird territory. But now you're like going to be looking at the steampunk aesthetic and being like,
oh, this is pretty.
Yeah, like what's there's a lot of machinery involved here.
So we've got two pro steampunk and two anti steampunk.
Yeah,
there we go. And the final scare zone, the one I'm most excited about, All Night Die-In double feature. So
I wish you stressed the puns so much more, like. All Night Die-In double feature.
You already made that request earlier in the
episode. I know, but he's just glazed over one of the
last ones.
I don't
think that's Craig's speed.
The scream punk? I wish you would say it the way it makes me feel when I hear it said, which is very uncomfortable.
Just basically someone who is saying...
Dance, monkey, dance.
They came up with the pun, now they're saying it, and they feel guilty about the fact that they came up with it.
They make it like an onomatopoeia feeling, like you say a word and you feel that way.
Onomatopoeia feeling?
Okay, that was an awesome word there.
I have those good. An anti-onomatopoeia feeling. So those are the words that make you feel the opposite of how you feel, like the word silly. Makes you feel silly
or
when
moist.
You say it.
Oh, does not God. Make you feel moist.
No, it does not. That's an anti.
Didn't mean
anyway,
to go there.
Sorry, Craig.
Last but certainly not least is a double feature of horror at the Cary Drive-In Movie Theater. Wander down the streets of San Francisco, and you'll come across this theater that has been named Die-In due to the gruesome murders that occurred. Enter
and also because that neon inn fell off.
This is going to be in San Francisco. You're referring to Mel's Die-In.
I got you.
Two different. That's in Hollywood. This is in San Francisco. Two different places. Whoa, my arm fell off the table. Okay, so Cary, Ohio, one of the longest running traditions of Halloween Horror Nights 2. The Cary Drive-In is going to be there. And what is cool about this is that the die-in, was that better for you?
Yeah.
The die-in.
Yeah, there you go.
It will contain horrors from both classic and contemporary films. And depending on when you walk through, you'll see black and white film characters or modern colorized characters.
That's cool.
That is, it's going to be awesome. I hope that there is a black and white Frankenstein there.
Yeah.
That I can bother until they let me take a picture with him. And
I hope
will die a happy man.
The colorized versions of those characters too. I hope they're like the colors a little bit off too. You know, like how it is when they went back and recolored all those films. What are we laughing at? What?
Nothing.
Oh,
okay. Nothing. Just inappropriateness.
Oh, okay. Well, I just think the black and white area is going to be like that to me is like super cool.
I think both are going to be great.
Yeah.
Black and white and coloring. It's going to be an awesome, awesome place.
They did a black and white house a couple years back and it was very visually
that
unique.
Yeah. The classic monsters house.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
Was It was visually very cool.
And I can admit that I wish I would have actually been sober going through that house because that was after a lot of drinking at Cigars and that was the first house we went to. I barely remember any of it, but I remember I loved it.
There was a lot of high ally happening.
Oh no, that was back in the Bud Light days.
I'm excited that they're like tapping into the classic monsters for the, you know, for an anniversary year. But and I like to see that. You know, it was that whole thing. I wanted the Alfred Hitchcock house. Like I like throwback stuff too.
So. Yeah. And I think it's going to be the best one. I think we can all agree with that. Let's go on to do the two final shows. I don't really think I need to say anything about the first one, Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure. We know Bill and Ted. We've talked about it. Be a new rendition. I've already heard a lot of the songs they're doing because, well, they rehearsed it 10 o'clock at night. And unfortunately, my house is literally right behind the Fear Factor stage. So like I just... I don't even need to do that. Literally, just if the window's open, I hear the whole show.
You're like, oh, okay.
It gets annoying by like night 20.
I doubt they'll do the whole magical tracking wristbands this thing this year. I think that's dead.
Yeah, I think they'll probably be in for a new joke or two.
Yeah.
So, but I heard Bad Blood playing. So anyone who's excited for that, there you
Taylor
go.
Taylor Swift.
Oh. See if it makes it to the final cut.
He did it.
You did. You're getting better.
The final cut.
Yeah, you got to say. If they write it up with that many puns in it, then they know that people are uncomfortable saying it. Yeah. So you should make people feel uncomfortable when you say it.
The other show, The Carnage Returns. Jack the Clown is taking Halloween Horror Nights back in a blaze of murderous mayhem. army of feared followers and his companion in Carnage, Chance.
I don't know. He doesn't really do it right, Rhino. He kind of sounds like he's about to vomit.
Remember, Jack always has the last laugh.
Now you sound like the Count.
Just stop.
One laugh.
Okay, so
murder.
Jack and Chance are back in this all-new stage show that it's across from Mel's Die-In. So it's not even taking place on the Beetlejuice stage, which makes you think, why didn't they just get rid of Beetlejuice then? Or why not also bring back Rocky Horror and go crazy, do three shows at once? But
we don't know.
They will celebrate the kill along with their maniacs. I think it could be, I think it could have promise to it. Yeah. Definitely think, oh, shut up.
I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
See, the only thing that makes me think of is last year with Bayou of Blood doing the pop-up stage right outside at the end of the scare zone, and they're supposed to do the live sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first night that only like one person got to see the sacrifice actually happen, then they had to pull the entire show because it was too scary. And then it just had the voodoo lady up there. They're not going to be able to pull this show since it's an actual show, but kind of makes me think that maybe it's going to be like right there in that same area there and just be kind of like a walk up thing. And I just hope it works.
Me too. I am so stoked about this year. Yeah.
No, that's all. That's everything in a kit and caboodle. It's going to be an awesome year. I know Rhino's not super pumped for it.
I am excited. There was nothing that blew me away. And I think it's just because our prediction show was so good. I feel like that I was like, I think we had some good ideas. So maybe next year.
Tough crowd.
Yeah. But who knows? And then we're going to cut back to all I can imagine right now is going and then the episode that we're going to record after we get
My god, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved every second of it.
Or you're going to be like, we lost him and he died, or we've had to commit him because he broke during that.
He went into the fetal position.
Yeah. I will tell you right now, copious amounts of alcohol will be required to have me in some sort of state that will be allowable for this.
Copious. Yeah. That's a fun word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed our little preview of what's coming up for Halloween Horror Nights. And, of course, we're going to have a lot more to annoy you with this event, moving up to the event
and then going through.
I mean, it's just it's Halloween season, baby. It's coming. It's here to stay. So thank you all for your participation or lack thereof. And remember, everyone, go on disunplug.com, and that's where you'll find our show notes, where you'll have links to anything we talk about that's actually relevant, as well as the other great shows on the Disunplugged network. And right there, you'll also be able to find our contact page, which will have our email address and links to all social media in that. So if you have any questions, want to find us into further reaches, then you'll be able to do that there. It's a good site. I highly recommend it. And I'm not just saying that because it's our site. Anyways, thank you all again. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. But remember, Halloween is universal. See you.